There's one. Set for stun.
Three guys sitting in a dark room that smells like bad cucumbers.
Don't make me angry. You wouldn't like me when I'm angry.
Inconceivable!
Now featuring 11 listeners.
This is me.
Give me 25.
This is the Unique Geek.
And welcome to another edition of 50 Days of Dragon Con, the podcast that pulls all your strings. And joining me tonight. Joining me tonight, as always, is our the lady who puts her hand up your back, Lee.
No, I do not. I do not. No. No, I do not, John.
That's a bad touch.
Bad touch. Consensual touch. Sorry, we don't have that person. There's nobody behind the curtain right now. But hi, John. How are you?
I'm doing well.
I am doing well, too, until I looked at the giant new Dragon Con
Web page
today, and it said 23 days, and my little heart kind of went, yeah! I also had the Ewok dream again last night. I don't know why I'm looking for these Ewoks, and I'm very upset. I'm sitting on the floor in the Marriott in that really big room near the stage, but over on the side. I'm not like on the stage or anything. I'm just sitting there, and I'm just like just flummoxed going,
Where are the Ewoks?
And I have no idea why. But let's not worry about me and my Ewok dream, because that needs to go away. We have had a really big, big announcement with guests.
Have we now?
We have. And it is a show called Wynonna Earp.
I've heard of it.
And you've heard of it. It's kind of a big deal. And we actually have Wynonna coming.
I'm sure Kevin, wherever he is absolutely just thrilled.
Yes, Kevin and a couple of other people are really thrilled. Melanie Scrofano, I hope I pronounced that right, is
probably
coming.
Didn't.
I'm crossing my fingers, but she's coming, and we have other Wynonna people, and we also have Supernatural people, Kim Rhodes, who was Sheriff Jody Mills. We really wanted that to be a spinoff. We got lots of people coming, but we also have somebody else really interesting on this list. You know what, John? Because it makes you really happy.
Who's that?
We have Matt Nietzsche, who is somebody who does the Sci-Fi Janitors. Now, Matt couldn't be with us tonight, but I got somebody else.
No, you didn't
talk about the Sci-Fi. I did. I got Bo, the director of the Puppetry Track, and also half of Bob and Carl, the Sci-Fi Janitors. Hi, Bo.
Greetings, friends.
Greetings.
Hello.
And you are the person who is the hand up the back and the strings and everything else. Oh, those marionettes. Those aren't marionettes. That's not puppets. Or those are. Are marionettes puppets?
Marionettes are puppets. They're one of the five basic styles of puppets. And I can give you the rundown.
Sure.
Oh, I'd love it. Yes.
Well, first of all, every single time a journalist writes an article about puppets, they use the word strings. No matter if the type of puppets that artist uses are actually marionettes with strings or not.
I got no strings to hold. Yeah, okay. I won't sing.
Puppet artist pull strings in local community. Da 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 da. And as somebody who does a lot of media, I work in the marketing department at the Center for Puppetry Arts.
Yes, you do.
When we're dealing with journalists, like, rule number one, you are not allowed to use the word strings in the headline of this article or anywhere in this article if the puppets that are featured in this story are not marionettes. And so when you were like, he's pulling the strings, I was like, oh, God, guys, you did the thing.
I think I did the last time, too,
and you yelled at me then, too.
Keep yelling at him. Look, Matt, Bo, I've been yelling at him for 10-plus years.
No,
Keep it up.
You know what? It's low-hanging fruit. And it happens all the time for a reason. And I get that.
Yeah, it's a dad joke. But yes. Okay, so now you're the director of the puppeteer. Oh,
we didn't hear that. We didn't hear what the five basic types are.
What are the five basic types? Here we go.
Oh, the five basic types. Thank you for asking. Are hand, which means that your hand is literally inside the puppet. And so so that would be Punch and Judy style puppets or Mr. Rogers puppets. Mm-hmm. Those are, we would also call them glove puppets. So it's like it just goes over your hand like a glove. You know, King Friday, Daniel Tiger, Punch and Judy. These are all glove puppets.
We'll get into Punch and Judy later, but honestly, we got to come up with a
callback. You're welcome.
We'll go back there, but we.
So then you have rod puppets, and those are puppets that you control where there's a stick or a rod going to the puppet, and then you're the puppeteer is touching the rod. Most of the ways we describe puppets are based on like how you're manipulating them, like what is the interface between the puppeteer and the puppet. So hand and glove means that your hand is inside the puppet directly. Rod means we would call that indirect manipulation because there is a space between you and the puppet. So like a glove puppet is direct manipulation. You're directly inside the puppet doing the thing to make it move. Rod puppetry would be indirect manipulation because there's space between you and the puppet and you are, you know, manipulating that part of the puppet via this rod that you've got. Then you have string puppetry or marionettes. We say string because in French, marionette just means all type of puppets.
Mm-hmm.
Marionette just means puppets. In English, when we say marionettes, we mean string puppets. But that's also indirect manipulation because your hands are manipulating the strings, which then go down and manipulate the puppet. Then you have shadow puppetry, which many puppet academics and historians consider the oldest form of puppetry. When we think of cave people telling a story in a cave and casting shadows on the wall to tell that story,
making
puppets out of like objects and things.
It's like when you do your little hands and make the bunny.
Exactly.
Oh, so wow. That's
shadow puppetry.
Okay.
And there's body puppetry. And body puppetry is when we wear costumes that distort our human body to a point where we stop looking like humans.
Mm.
Like it's not a costume. Like Big Bird's not a costume because it doesn't look like that's a person. It looks like it's a giant bird.
Snuffleupagus.
So a body puppet.
Okay, yeah.
Or like Snuffleupagus. Snuffleupagus is a body puppet because there's an entire human inside the thing, but it's not trying to look like a human that's trying to look like something else.
Well,
so those are the five types of puppets.
All right. So with that new information, let me retry the intro. Hold on.
Okay.
And welcome to another edition of 50 Days of Dragon Con, the podcast that indirectly manipulates you.
There you go.
There are so many bad jokes.
I was going to go.
Puppeters, you puppet people have to be like having something like biting down to not make some of the bad dad jokes I could see happening.
You know, I mean, for the most part, when you've done it, you know,
yeah,
pretty,
it's your job.
For a reasonable amount of time, like you've made all the jokes.
Yeah, that's
so
true.
So you just sort of move on to generally we make jokes in character.
Ah, okay.
And that's really where the sort of the fun is just sort of like being in character and like riffing, you know, when you're in between takes or whatever. Rather than like, you know, if you make, you can always tell who like the young puppeteers are when they're making like the rod jokes and the,
that was going to be my other intro.
Like, all right. Yeah.
Yeah.
We made all those jokes, you know, 15 years ago. Okay.
Yeah. When I first got into puppets. Ha ha. There you go. Yeah. So what is, I mean, so you've talked about these types of puppet, but why is there a puppetry panel? Or I mean, I'm sorry, track. A puppetry track. And what does it do at Dragon Con?
Well, that's a great question. I actually had this conversation earlier today with one of my guests.
Woohoo!
Who was actually with us the very first year of Dragon Con. And I was sort of filling him in on sort of how we've all changed and how it's evolved over the years. So the origin story for the puppetry track is Bob and Carl.
Mm-hmm. Yay.
Sci-fi janitors. They started as a puppet slam piece at Dad's Garage Theater in Atlanta.
Mm-hmm.
Written by myself and my best friend, Michael Goodwin. And he was a game writer. He wrote for White Wolf Games and was a, you know, very influential in the RPG writing community.
Mm-hmm.
And he said one to me, he was like, "Hey man, why have we never written a puppet show? you build the puppets and I'm a writer. So why have we never collaborated? So we got together and we wrote this little puppet show called Cleanup.
Yep.
And the premise was that there were two janitors working at Area 51. One was sort of like a veteran janitor and the other one, it was his first day on the job. And that was the show. And we did it at Dad's Garage and as part of the puppet slam there. And then we found out, then somebody who was in the audience was like, hey, I work for DragonCon TV. This would, you know, you guys seem really funny. This would work on DragonCon TV.
Yep.
So Matt Nitschy and I, who was the guy who played my writer buddy's not a puppeteer. So I brought my friend Matt Nitschy on, who I've known since high school, to play the other character. And we decided to just sort of set up a green screen and, you know, we had like a rough outline of jokes we wanted to make, but there was no script. We just sort of made stuff up and ended up with about 12 bits, 12 little sort of 1 minute little shorts.
Well, that's actually pretty much DragonCon is we just kind of make up the bits as we go along. So that worked really well.
So those bits got put on DragonCon TV, and lo and behold, suddenly all these people loved Bob and Carl, because I think part of it was a combination of there are DragonCon TV bits that are long.
Mm-hmm.
And ours were all like a minute and change or a minute or under a minute. And so when things are on a loop, when you see something that's long that you've seen over and over again, you can get kind of over it.
Mm-hmm.
But because ours were really short and sort of bite-sized, we never wore out our welcome. Some other little bits did. And so suddenly we had all these fans, because it was playing in events before the event started, and it was playing in your hotel room and all this kind of stuff. So I actually contacted DragonCon and leveraged the popularity of the janitors and said, how would you feel about the sci-fi janitors hosting a puppet slam? And they said, we don't know what a puppet slam is. And I said, well, it's like a variety show of different puppet acts. I'll pull all the artists from Atlanta, from the local Atlanta scene. And the sci-fi janitors will host it, and it's like a variety show, but with puppets for grown-ups at night. And they agreed. And so in the Hyatt, we did the very first puppet slam at DragonCon, hosted by the sci-fi janitors, and we turned 400 people away from the door.
Yep. Oops. Needed a bigger room, huh?
Right. So, shortly after that year, Pat Henry,
mm-hmm,
reached out to me directly, and Pat said, so I heard about what you did. How would you feel about running an entire puppetry track? And having no idea what that would entail.
You said, sure.
I said, yes.
Yeah,
and here we are today.
Well,
having had the Fraggles and the Muppets and, and Sesame Street and Mystery Science Theater 3000. And we've come a long way from Bob and Carl.
Yeah,
but Bob and Carl will always be sort of the heart and soul of the track, and the puppet ambassadors of DragonCon to the rest of the world.
Well, I have to tell you two really quick stories. First of all, the reason I like Bob and Carl, of course, the bits are hysterical, but also because I love that they're in those like hazmat suits as they're cleaning up, which at DragonCon, at the end of con, I'm kind of like, yeah, that's exactly what you should be wearing. Who knows what's on those stairs or wherever else. The other thing is, the first time we had you on the podcast, I couldn't be there and John was there and I like set it up and all that, but I I couldn't remember.
Yeah, I just lost you.
You back? Am I there?
Yeah, I lost you at your beginning of your story.
Okay. So the first year we had you on 50 Days, I could not be on here for some reason, but I set it up and you and John were doing it. And I got a text from John right after, where he's like, you didn't tell me this was the guy that does Carly Bob. And I was like, oh, yeah, his name's there. I thought you knew. So yeah, John's a big fan of Bob and Carl.
Aww.
John.
Yes.
There he is. You talk about how much you love them.
I love them. They're awesome. Okay. I don't know. I don't know how much anyone wants to hear me other than maybe Bo, but
think Bo always wants. You should always just bow down to Bo.
Well, I love. No, seriously, it means the world to us. And I got to say, I think it was 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody texted me a picture or like a video, I guess. And there were people cosplaying the sci-fi janitors out on the street. And they were going up to one of the anti-Dragon Con protesters. One of the, you know, sort of like, you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, mm-hmm. the people that are yelling on the street at the Hyatt. Yep.
Yeah. And the janitors, the cosplayers went up to them and just started scrubbing their sign and sort of pushing them off the street. and you know, with their hateful rhetoric that is the absolute opposite of what Dragon Con is all about. And
exactly.
I've never been more proud of
something
that I've been a part of.
That is a reason to be proud too, because that's awesome. So now one of the things you guys have been doing, and I'm going to let you explain it because there might be some new people listening or people listening again, but Thursday night you have a really big thing that goes on and people get to like dress up all pretty for it.
Well, so what is that? I mean, it's not just that. So
no, it's not just that. But
because I work at the Center for Puppetry Arts as well as Dragon Con, there's always been a partnership between the Center for Puppetry Arts and Dragon Con. Mm-hmm. And one of the aspects of that partnership is that we host, the center hosts a fantasy ball, a masquerade ball.
Ooh.
The first 2 years we did it, it was themed to the movie Labyrinth because we had a Labyrinth movie exhibit. Starting last year, that special exhibit area became a Dark Crystal exhibit.
Ooh.
And so last year we had our first, so we did two Labyrinth masquerade balls,
mm-hmm.
hugely successful and magical and amazing. And the fact is that there's a masquerade ball sequence in the movie.
Yeah. Like no, yeah. Right.
To a party really, really well.
Oh yeah.
So that was kind of a no brainer and it was hugely successful. And the first year we did it, the ticket sold out in 2 minutes and broke the center's website.
I remember that. Oh, yeah. It was pretty nuts.
We'd never done anything like that before. Dark Crystal is a little bit of a different beast. It doesn't quite lend itself to the party as well as Labyrinth does.
Mm-hmm.
But it has this very strong fan base. And obviously, like, the banquet sequence in the film where all the Skeksis are eating at the banquet and it's, mm-hmm. you know, this decadent. It's so decadent, right?
Oh, yeah. No, I Dark Crystal, it is such a beautiful movie to see. And my sister got to show it to my niece and nephew for the first time on, because it's now on Netflix. Mm-hmm. And they saw it and they were like, and she had to explain to him that those were puppets and they did not, they were just thinking they were actual like people in those outfits. And she had to explain it. So, yeah.
There's really nothing like the Dark Crystal. I mean, the idea of making a movie that doesn't have any humans in it.
Yeah.
Was so crazy when Jim Henson did it. Like it was impossible to get funny. The only reason he got the money to make the movie was that the Muppet movies made a lot of money. Right.
And they're awesome too. So, yeah.
And so he was basically bankrolling the movie, you know, this crazy experimental, unbelievably experimental movie,
mm-hmm.
with Muppet money, you know? It's this completely unique vision where every single thing, you know, even like you look at like a movie like Avatar, where it's like, oh, it's this totally alien world and da 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 da. But there's still humans in it.
Right.
Right. Dark Crystal is unbelievably unique in this idea that it's a movie that takes place in a totally alien world. There are zero humans.
Mm-hmm.
And people just aren't used to that.
No. And it was something just at that time that was kind of like this idea of you're just going to not. Because the Muppet movie, even though it is the Muppet movie or movies, there were still humans in it.
Oh, it's crawling with cameos. Right. I mean, the Muppet movies are the Muppets in a bajillion cameos of people who were famous back then, you know?
Yes.
And you show them to your kids and they're like, we don't know who any of these people are, you know?
Yeah, that it does. It doesn't translate as well for that, but it does translate as well for the jokes.
Oh, I mean, no, the movies are still amazing and beautiful. Right. And I think that the sort of the insistence on the guest stars makes the movies dated. Mm-hmm. But as soon as you're in a scene without a guest star, the movies are timeless.
Yeah, well, and I like the guest stars because I remember Milton Berle, so right. You know, but yeah, no, it is different and it's stuff like that. But so now, but you are doing the ball on Thursday night.
The ball. It's going to be center. Fantastic. And our special guests are Alice Dineen, who is one of the main puppeteers of the main characters.
Oh, wow.
In the new Dark Crystal for Netflix series, which drops the Friday of Dragon Con.
Oh my goodness! Really, the Friday of Wow,
right?
Wow. Okay, that'll be a busy day.
So Alice will be there, and Alice actually was a puppeteer at the Center for Puppetry Arts.
Oh, very cool.
That's right. In her as she was coming up, and now she's an unbelievably successful puppeteer.
Mm-hmm. Oh, very cool. And you still have tickets for it. They can buy them on the website.
That's right.
So go to DragonCon.org.
Who's going to be there? The other people that we have as our special guests are Peter Brook. Mm-hmm. So Peter Brook is the creative supervisor of the Jim Henson Creature Shop. So he's the guy that is in charge of making sure that all the puppets get built. And there is an unbelievable number of puppets in this new series. There's 50 new Gelflings.
50?
There's two in the movie. There's 50 Gelflings in the new series.
And I just looked it up. One of them, headed by one of my favorite people in the world, Eddie Izzard, or voiced by Eddie Izzard.
The voice cast for the new series is kind of obscene.
Oh, geez. I just looked down to the next one down. Helena Bonham Carter.
Hell, what? Oh, yeah.
I just looked one down. Wait a minute.
No, Mark Hamill.
Lena Henley. Mark Hamill? Headley. Oh.
No, keep going. Keep going.
Oh, let's see.
By all means, keep going about the ridiculous voice cast.
Lena Headley, for those of you, Sarah Connor Chronicles, and of course, Game of Thrones recently. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mark Strong. I honestly don't recognize some of these other ones. Actually, it doesn't look like they have the whole. Oh, because wait, I had to move down some more. Simon Pegg, Jesus, Jason Isaacs, Benedict Wong. What the heck, Andy Samberg? Okay, who didn't they get?
Pretty much, the voice cast is kind of ridiculous. But we're the puppetry track.
Yeah.
So we are featuring the puppeteers and the puppet builders. That make this amazing. I mean, the new Netflix series is the most ambitious and crazy live practical effects puppetry television series ever made. And I cannot stress that enough. This television show is unbelievably unprecedented. There's nothing remotely has been ever attempted like this.
That is absolute Harvey Fierstein. That's
Harvey Fierstein, one of my favorites. Yes,
it is ridiculous.
And if anybody wants to go, I know we're talking about the Dark Crystal new movie, but I'm sorry, new series, but also the Dark Crystal Ball. I went to find out where it is so you can find it, and you go to thedragoncon.org, things to do, programming, events, and it's one of those nice little yellow pop-ups and yellow buttons, and you click it and it says Dark Crystal Ball purchase tickets.
The easiest thing to do actually is just to go straight to www.puppet.org and go straight to the center's website and buy your tickets directly there,
and you can do that. Okay, cool, didn't know that.
Now in the actual puppetry track, are you gonna have any viewings of a group viewings of the series or no?
It's tricky. Just too full? With the screenings, I can neither confirm nor deny the presence of a screening.
Gotcha.
At this point, we will have a panel. We are definitely going to have a panel that will have Peter and Alice and Dave Chapman. Mm-hmm. Dave Chapman is also one of the two Star Wars puppeteers for BB-8.
Yes.
He's also worked on Dark Crystal, so that panel will be moderated by Brian Henson. Now, Brian didn't work on Dark Crystal, but he knows all about it because he's Brian Henson.
Yeah,
So Perfect. He's going to moderate the Dark Crystal panel. So that's going to be our big Dark Crystal event, is going to be that panel.
Gotcha.
I cannot confirm nor deny the presence of a screening.
Gotcha.
Okay. Well, that does happen.
Well, and everyone can just whip out their phone, too, and just say, everyone, start your Netflix account now.
Now. You want to watch it. You know you want to watch it. Don't even. Just go on and do it. Also, you just mentioned Brian Henson, and we're not going to talk about him a lot, but he's coming also, and we'll be talking to military sci-fi, so we'll be talking about Brian Henson and Dragon Con with Farscape later in the 50 Days podcast days. But yeah, that so I just love talking this about the puppets, and this is awesome. So now the other
and
thing,
this will be Brian's third year at Dragon Con.
Yes.
So yeah. Apparently he's enjoying himself.
Thank you.
Brian does like Dragon Con. I think that he really recognizes, you know, we did the big Jim Henson's Creature Shop Challenge live at Dragon Con last year. And that was, you know, that was a big project for him. And so actually one of our panels will be the winner of the challenge at Dragon Con last year, Kendall Bailey from Australia.
Oh,
I've given her her own panel where she's going to talk about what it was like to build her award-winning creature, come to Dragon Con all the way from Australia, present her creature at the Creature Shop Challenge live. And then part of her prize was to get to tour the Jim Henson's Creature Shop studios in LA. And so she's going to sort of give us that. Her panel is sort of the arc of her journey from I'm making my creature at home, I go to Dragon Con, oh my God, I won, I get to go to LA. So Kendall's panel is going to be really special because it's a panel about something that happened at Dragon Con.
That is neat. Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Cool. That is so cool. Yes, John? I thought you were about to say something.
No, that was not, but I will say something now. So besides that awesomeness, you have a ton of special events that you do. The one that I'm actually most anxious, and I know we probably want to save it for later, but the one I'm most anxious to hear about is the Ultimate Ninja Puppet Challenge.
What's it called? Ultimate Puppet Ninja Warrior.
There we go.
That's right.
And I had what WTF, which is what the frack, ? So what, what is that?
All right. So are you familiar with the television show Ultimate Ninja Warrior?
Of course.
Right.
Well, I mean.
Okay. No, but so, keep going. Yes. Yeah.
So last year I had some guests and I was working with them, like trying to develop their program. And they said, hey, well, we do this thing called Ultimate Puppet Ninja Warrior, where we train people to perform a very specific style of puppetry called tabletop puppetry. And this is actually a style of puppetry that is a derivative of a Japanese style of puppetry called Bunraku, which is a very, very ancient style of puppetry where you have three puppeteers all manipulating one full body puppet. And the sort of eldest puppeteer manipulates the head and the lead arm.
Mm-hmm.
The second puppeteer supports the shoulders and the torso and the undominant hand. And then the third puppeteer, the most inexperienced puppeteer, manipulates the feet. Right. And by all of those three puppeteers moving together, you create the illusion of a full, about 24 inch tall puppet, arms, heads, legs, you know, walking and moving around just like a human, jumping, skipping, all that kind of stuff. So last year we had did this event with our guests that had this idea, and people who come to the event can put their name in a hat, who are interested in participating, and we're going to draw 9 names out of the hat. And we're going to divide those 9 names into 3 teams. So 3-person teams on 1 puppet. You will then get a professional puppeteer coach who will give you a crash course in this very specific style of puppetry, which we call tabletop, because it happens on a table.
Okay. I want to know how
in front of you, and that's why we call it tabletop.
I really hope that this, I really hope somebody videotapes this and then puts it up on YouTube. Or DragonCon, you go and tape it and we can buy the steaming membership, streaming membership.
Or the steaming membership. If yes, you're, if you are, if you're an alternate history, it's
so then,
a steaming membership.
So then, so each group gets to go off with their coach and gives them their crash course. And then they come back and we built a cardboard obstacle course on the tables. Then this puppet with the three puppeteers has to navigate the obstacle course while two commentators, just like a sport, any sort of other sporting event, are doing live color commentary, being like, he's stepping up to the plate, he's going to jump, he's grabbing the rope, he's climbing the rope, you know, that kind of stuff.
He's forgot his legs, but he's climbing the rope with his arm. Okay,
professional puppeteer judges
who
have dry erase boards that will hold up scores like the Olympics 1 to 10 on how they think they did. So it's like Ultimate Ninja Warrior meets, the America's Got Talent.
Gotcha.
You know, three judges kind of thing meets the Olympics. And so we'll have round one on Friday with three teams, round two on Saturday with three other teams. And then on Sunday is the finals. So the winners of round the three team winner of round one and the three people winner of round two, those two teams will face off in the finals on Sunday.
Oh wow!
And then we'll add an extra course. We'll add an extra like surprise section of the end of the course, and those three people will become the ultimate puppet ninja warriors of Dragon Con 2019.
Okay, so I cannot walk and chew gum. I literally fall over air, and that takes talent, people. I cannot imagine trying to do this with three different people, one puppet.
That you just met.
Who just met.
Yeah.
I have no training to do this prior.
All of our feedback from last year was like, this was the most amazing new thing that you've done. Please do it again. And the people who brought it weren't coming this year.
Aww.
So I was like, oh man, we've got to find a way to do this. So we worked with the artist that brought it last year. We're doing it all in-house this year. And we're really excited. Our special guest judges are fantastic. Our coaches are fantastic. Our commentators are fantastic. We're really excited. So we hope that if you're interested in getting your hands on a puppet and doing something nuts, that you show up and you put your name in the hat. If you want to come see something totally bonkers and crazy, each of the puppets are going to have a different color.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to pass out little flags for the audience so you can cheer on your favorite team. You get to pick a team and be the cheering section for your favorite puppet.
This is awesome.
If it's anything like last year, it's going to be bigger and better than last year. We're very excited.
Are you going to have like a little art section where somebody can like go and make signs for their favorite teams? Or
sure. Great idea.
It is now added to the list of things that he has to do.
It already sounded crazy.
I love it.
Yes. So cool. X-Track we can send you some crayons, man. I got some crayons and things like that. So awesome. We'll make sure to bring them. Okay. So this sounds completely insane. And you're doing it three separate times over the weekend. That's
Friday,
awesome.
Saturday and Sunday. Last year we only did two rounds. We did a Friday and a Saturday round.
What?
And then the end of the Saturday round, the team that won the Friday round came back and did it. And this year I was like, no, let's just separate it out into three events.
Yeah, you need that big fight. You need a big finale together.
Yeah, it made more sense.
Yeah. All right. So that's insane. But then there is also something called the Magic Puppet Tea Party that is... It has nothing to do with Alice, or at least it's very different. So what is that? I have that one down as a, question.
Absolutely. So we have been doing the Magic Puppet Tea Party for about 5 years now. And the idea came around because we started noticing that people were bringing puppets from home.
Oh, okay.
To our programming. And we really wanted to support that. These are puppets that people were building themselves. Basically, we realized that Dragon Con is special because of the puppetry track and that people are bringing puppets like they were costumes.
Oh, wow.
And that was crazy. Because, I mean, I've gone to lots of conventions for my whole life, and I've never seen that happen. And so we said, okay, well, what can we do for those people? What can we do that's special for those people?
Mm-hmm.
So the idea is that you are not allowed into the Magic Puppet Tea Party. There is literally a bouncer at the door.
Okay.
And you are not allowed into the party unless you have a puppet. It is puppets only.
Does it have to be a good puppet? I mean,
No.
I don't mean that as a negative. I mean, because I have still things for my 20-year-old child. I have some of those puppets he had, too, the little hand puppets. So, but you have to come with a puppet.
It doesn't have to be a good puppet. And our puppet merch booth is right outside the door. And if you would like to purchase a puppet, you are welcome to purchase a puppet from one of our fine guests and take that in and take that in to the event. But
you just said something else. We got to go back to this merch table, but keep going. Yes, sir.
But the idea, that's not the point. The point is not to buy a puppet so you can get in.
No.
The point is that it is a social mixer for puppets. What we're doing is we're creating an environment where amateur puppeteers are bringing their puppets and are mingling with professional puppeteers with their puppets. Casually. In character. It's one thing for us to do our monitor workshop or Puppetry 101, where we're academically teaching people how to use puppets.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very different thing to put professional puppeteers with their puppets and amateur puppeteers with their puppets in a room and tell everybody, stay in character.
Wow. Yeah.
The result is that the amateurs absorb an incredible amount of knowledge
mm-hmm.
just by watching and interacting with those professional puppeteers and their puppets.
Well, of course, it was really
important to me to have something that wasn't like, we are going to teach you how to make puppets work. You know, because I can break it down. It's gravity, focus, and breath. Like, I can break it all down and make it really academic and teach you the rules of puppetry to make your puppet seem alive. It's another thing to do it in a casual setting. Mm-hmm. And I'll tell you what, it works. You can see gears turning inside the heads of the amateur puppeteers when their puppet is talking to a professional puppeteer's puppet.
Well, it does. It sounds really amazing. I got to, John and I helped set up the parade, and the year was 2 years ago when Red Fraggle was there. And I got
Cantrell. She is one of the best guests I have ever had.
I have a selfie with Red, and I made a very terrible, terrible thing. The person behind Red was who I was trying to talk to, but I'm supposed to be talking to Red, and I forgot. I know better than that. And so, yeah, this is amazing to be able to stay in that character.
Don't ever feel bad for talking to the puppet. Don't feel bad about that.
That's what you're supposed to do. I want to go back to something for just a quick moment here. A merchandise table outside your track room?
Yes. So the Puppetry Track has a Puppetry Track merch booth outside the Puppetry Track room where you can buy puppets and puppet-related merchandise from our guests.
Mm-hmm.
The Puppetry Track is weird, right? Because puppets are weird. And a lot of what we do is we ask professional puppeteers to do the thing that they do for money.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
When you see an actor from a TV show or a movie, they're talking about the thing they do for money. They're not doing the thing they do for money.
Right.
And as you know, Dragon Con guests don't get paid.
Nope.
And bands at Dragon Con don't get paid.
Buy their merch.
Right. So they have merch tables.
Yeah. Right.
And so a lot of my guests, and especially my professionals, because the Puppetry Track features a lot of professionals who aren't getting free hotel rooms. They're not getting free flights.
Mm-hmm.
So, but they don't have enough merchandise to have their own table like a band. They don't have t-shirts and CDs and all that kind of stuff. So the puppetry track has its own little table where all the different guests can sell their puppetry related merchandise and make a little bit of money back in instead of having to pay for being at Dragon Con totally out of pocket. So it's like a band selling t-shirts and CDs, but with puppets.
Excellent.
And everyone's stuff is all together at one table.
Do they, I mean, is this that, and I'm asking this not to be offensive. So if this is offensive, I am very, very sorry. I don't mean to be. So is it that they already have the puppets made, or is it that I can come up with a picture of John and say, I would really like to have a puppet that looks like him?
Well, we don't have...
Because I really do want that now, by the way.
I would be more than happy to introduce you to puppet builders that could do that. Awesome. That is not something that happens
there
within the span of four.
They're bringing their already.
And I will point out, to have it done well, Lee, not cheap.
Oh, I understand that. I understand.
Oh,
that,
I don't think you understand how.
I don't think cheap you understand that.
Probably. I'm with them. But the idea of being able to have you and put my hand up you and make you do what you're
what
supposed
the hell?
To do sounds awesome.
Well, when
to somebody, maybe
$1,500. We can.
Yeah, no, I don't have that much, but we will. Yeah, I'm just. This is okay. So, but they bring their. I'm sorry. I think having a puppet made by a puppeteer. I mean, that's a piece of art, in
absolutely.
My opinion.
It's absolutely a piece of art, and yeah. The amount of skill and material that goes into making what you're talking about.
Yeah. No. Amazing.
Which
yeah.
is very popular. I mean, people love having. Characters made of their loved ones or themselves, you know, and all that kind of stuff. But but people are often get sticker shock when it comes to the prices of actual real puppets. Cause we live in a Walmart world where, I can't buy it for $25. You know,
no, you can't. It's also not on Amazon. No, I was making a point of that, but that is really cool to be able to do that. And for those people who like to have something that is a unique piece of art, which we've already talked about art show, this is another opportunity to
absolutely.
Have something like no, that. That's
come
amazing.
Come to the merch booth. A lot of our sellers have business cards, and they will make your character whatever you want. As long as, you know, you recognize the fact that it takes a month minimum
to
fabricate something like that. The amount of materials that go into it and the skill and the knowledge that go into making that, you can't just, you know, your mom can't do that for you with her sewing machine.
This
not
is
a skill set that she has. Not like, you know, it's even more niche than making costumes. So if you're ready to spend that kind of money on, you know, a custom cosplay, be ready to spend that kind of money on a custom puppet. Cause that makes sense. The reality.
Yeah. No, that makes sense. And I love that idea too. That's really cool. Really, really cool. But I mean, so one of the things that sounds like you're really trying to do, and I know you've done this in the past, but this year, especially, you're really trying to get back down to like some deeper puppetry cuts.
Absolutely.
Into everything else you're doing. So, I mean, yeah. How are you bringing more of, we all love the creature, you know, we all love Henson. We all love all of these, but
yeah, we're doing that. I got my Star Wars puppeteers.
Yeah.
We're doing Dark Crystal with Henson.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was really one of my goals this year, was to try to do some deeper cuts. Now I know this is a topic, or at least a generational thing, but I grew up seeing the Letter People television show in kindergarten.
Mm-hmm.
Why do I kind of remember that.
Mr. T?
All Teeth.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
Super
S. Oh, yeah. All so you know, right?
Okay. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I think you and I might be the same age.
Big B was something.
I mean, I had every coloring sheet for every Letter People character in my room taped up around the border of my ceiling. The entire
album. Very cool.
I loved the Letter People. And so this year I really, part of my goal was to do some deeper cuts and to be like, all right, we've done Sesame Street. We've done some Muppet stuff. We've done Mystery Science Theater 3000, which people still don't think is a puppet show, but oh my God, it's a puppet show. Give me a break.
Yeah.
We don't think about it like a puppet show. We think about it a show about bad movies, but it is totally a puppet show.
And so I reached out.
I did my research, and Letter People was something that was important, very influential on me as a kid. And so I came across Mr. Alan Troutman. Now, Mr. Alan Troutman worked on the Letter People in college, and then he went on to have a very successful career with the Muppets and with Henson Company, and he's working on shows right now. But I reached out to him because of the Letter People. He was like, wait, you want me to talk about what? But I have...
Alan Troutman is coming.
He's going to talk about all the other wonderful stuff he's done. But the reality is that I booked him because I wanted him to talk about the Letter People.
God, you talking about that brings me... I mean, it's bringing back a sense memory of being in elementary school at Belcher Elementary in Clearwater, Florida. And I think it was Mrs. Grubbs' class. And I can see the room. I can smell the room. And I remember it being on
the cart with the TV on it.
Yes, exactly.
The cart with the TV. You all don't understand the cart with the TV, but yeah.
Now they're all just TVs are in every single room post mounted to the wall or whatever. But
well, the blackboard is a TV. I mean,
that's for a lot of them.
Yeah. What blackboard?
This was my sort of love letter to my generation say we're doing the Letter People, and it's a very you know short generation, probably maybe like five at a max years worth of kids that happened to be in kindergarten when the Letter People were a thing, you know. Reading Rainbow is obviously a bigger influence on people's lives of that generation. Mm-hmm. But for me, the Letter People was my kindergarten experience.
I just want to let you know that you're not understanding how cheap South Carolina public education was, or what they did, because I know I saw the Letter People, and my sister, we are 9.5 years apart.
Oh, wow.
Also saw the Letter People. Now, it's probably... you know, VHS tapes instead of live, but yeah, she saw the Letter People. Oh yeah.
So everyone who is a fan of the Letter People, come and see Alan's programming. Because he's wonderful. He's one of the judges for the Ultimate Puppet Ninja Warrior. He's doing his own panels. Alan Troutman Puppeteer is going to be really, really talks the most about the Letter People. That's on Sunday at 11:30 a.m.
Currently planned Sunday at 11:30 a.m. Check the app. Keep updated.
Well,
he's also went on to do a lot of motion capture stuff. So he does a lot of digital puppetry. He's on Splash and Bubbles, which is a motion capture digital puppetry PBS show with local Atlanta puppeteer Raymond Carr, who is going to actually moderate a couple of Alan's panels because they work together on Splash and Bubbles and they're pals. So we're very happy to feature local celebrity Raymond Carr.
Very cool. And so what other kind of like puppet, are you bringing other puppeteers in to talk about their craft too? More of the actual, you know, people like that. Anybody else like that?
Barnaby Dixon isn't like an older school puppeteer, but he's really sort of the opposite. He's a new school puppeteer, he's really become one of the preeminent sort of YouTube puppeteers. He has his channel on YouTube features a character named Dabchick, who he has a very unique style of puppetry that he can do with sort of one hand on a table. That doesn't really fall into any of the traditional puppetry categories that we talked about earlier in the show. It's really very unique and different. And so we're doing lots of puppetries with Barnaby about his unique approach to puppetry, how he came from a background in stop motion, and how his live puppetry is very informed by his experience with doing stop motion puppets. He's actually planning on being our closer for the Puppet Slam on Sunday night, because his stuff is kind of insane and unbelievable. And you really can't figure when you're watching it, you can't figure out how he's doing it. And I'm a puppeteer. Like, I'm pretty good. I know.
Yeah, you are.
Look at something and pretty much know how you're doing it. I look at some of Barnaby's stuff and I'm like, dude, how is he doing that? That's amazing. So I really suggest everybody come and check out Barnaby's stuff and follow him on YouTube and see what he's doing, because he's doing some really interesting stuff. He got interviewed by Mythbusters guy. What's the Mythbusters guy?
Adam Savage.
Yeah. Adam Savage interviewed him and he was like, what are you doing? No one knows how you're doing this.
Okay, go take a drink. Drink something. Don't talk.
We hear you. Okay. Yeah, we hear you stifling a cough over here. No,
okay. Because you also brought something up and we're going to go to this, and I'm going to give it a little bit of an intro here, which is the Puppet Slam. Mm-hmm. And just to let you know, it's kind of like when people say, oh, Avenue Q has puppets, I can take my kids. No. No, you can't. That's
no,
not for little kids. And the Puppetry Slam is in late evenings with you guys. And it is, I've heard, hysterical. I have to go to sleep because I got to be up at 8:30. But tell people about the Puppetry Slam, because it's awesome. Everybody loves it.
The Puppet Slam is unique. I mean, and like I said earlier, the Puppet Slam is where the puppetry track came from.
Right.
It would be no puppetry track if it wasn't for the puppetry slam. A puppet slam is an evening of, it's a variety show. So each show is done by different people and it all incorporates puppetry in some way.
Okay.
And it is for adults. Those are the defining characteristics, the only defining characteristics of what makes a puppet slam a puppet slam.
Okay. And so if it's for adults and Dragon Con has things that are rated M for mature, that means you're not starting this until 10 p.m. or later every night.
It is at midnight on Sunday night. It is the cherry on top. It is the coup de grace. It is the closing act of the puppetry track.
There you go.
Build everything that we do in the puppetry track builds up to the slam. On Sunday evening, at 7 o'clock, the entire track shuts down.
Oh,
we
my.
Do zero programming between 7 and midnight because we are getting the show together. The slam is the most complicated piece of machinery that happens in the track at all. It takes us literally from 7 o'clock to midnight when the show actually starts to put it together. It is built out of the guests and pros that we have in the puppetry track, along with some local people and some people that, basically I see their stuff and I'm like, all right, you're in.
There you go.
That happens. It is hosted by Bob and Carl, the sci-fi janitors, myself. It is pretty nuts. There's 1,000 people in the audience. People get in line 3 hours early to see an insane adult puppet variety show. And I can never tell you what it's going to be because I have no idea. I encourage my guests to write shows, be like, hey, have you ever had that idea for a, you know, Battlestar Galactica puppet show, but you thought that it wouldn't play to general audiences? This is the audience.
This is it.
Do it here.
We found your audience.
That. You're going to see puppet shows that are geek, totally written for the geek audience. You're going to see some shows that are just incredible, incredible puppetry performances that you've, unlike anything you've ever seen. Always our goal at the puppetry track, always the goal is to have somebody walk out of one of our events and say, I didn't know puppets could do that. And that is what we get out of the Puppet Slam every single year.
Okay. Now you said it's 1,000 people that'll be watching this. Where is this usually held, or the planned area for this to be held?
It is in the Sheridan in the Peachtree Ballroom.
Sheridan Peachtree Ballroom.
Which is a beautiful space. And it has these gorgeous starburst chandelier things going on in the room. It's got balconies.
It's gorgeous. I mean, it really is. The Sheridan is gorgeous.
It's a huge room and it's beautiful. And we actually enlarge the stage footprint. The panels that normally happen in there have a specific stage footprint. We basically double that size of the stage just for the slam because we need the space.
Oh, wow. Okay. So you got
it. Because
really
it's in a big room, everything is also videotaped live and projected on a Jumbotron. so you can see, you know, because puppets are small and some of the shows can be small, but it's all projected up big on the wall so everybody can see it.
That is awesome. And so again, that Sheraton Grand Ballroom.
Peachtree Ballroom.
Peachtree Ballroom. Yeah. Peachtree Ballroom in the Sheraton. Okay. Yeah.
Sunday awesome. Night.
Sunday night.
It is. And so then we roll. And after that, then we roll into Monday and we don't really do. We have some wonderful programming on Monday. Don't get me wrong. But it is very light programming because everybody was up. You know, the show doesn't start till midnight. So we're all up very late Sunday night, wrapping up the show, striking the show. And yeah.
How long is the show?
Work very hard on Monday morning.
How long is the show typically?
It depends. If we have a lot of acts, generally I will not go over 12 pieces in the show. 12 is really the max. Sometimes it can go on. I mean, it's gone on. The problem is when we start late because the show is very technical. Mm-hmm. It's unbelievably technical. And we have lavalier mics that we're trading between people and live video camera feeds that have to happen from on stage for certain pieces. And it's a much more cumbersome technical package than most of what Dragon Con deals with. Thankfully, I have lots of really very, very talented technicians on my team. And teaming them up with tech ops, we can get the job done. So in the last couple of years, we haven't started late. In previous years, we were starting very, very late because of trying to get everything figured out. I think we've solved a lot of those tech problems now, and we're running a pretty, last year we started totally on time and we're out, you know, by two, easily. It just depends on how many people want to do the show. I hate telling people no,
because it is
literally
yeah.
the best audience in the world. There is no, and this is speaking as me, as Bo, as the host, as Carl and the sci-fi janitors. I get to perform a lot, and that audience in that space at that time, Sunday night of Dragon Con, midnight, everyone is just loopy and drunk and ready to have a good time.
Well, the masquerade is over usually. Well, no, it's always over by that time. You know, people are, they've had that fun and now they want to go to something else that's fun too.
It is my absolute favorite audience in the world to perform for. I love it. I love every single minute of it. And I've had puppeteers who have had incredible careers and come out to me and say, that was the best audience I have ever gotten in front of. And they're right. I love that audience is absolutely the best. So all of you who come to see the Puppet Slam, you guys are the best. You're the best audience in the entire world. And I mean that.
Awesome. That is really cool. That is awesome. It sounds great. I can't wait. Now, but you also are doing some things. I mean, we've talked a lot about adult things, but you're also doing some things that are more family oriented.
Absolutely. The Puppetry Trek always has kid stuff. We have several kid shows. We have Felt Nerdy, which is a local Atlanta group. They have a couple of shows in a couple of tracks. They actually have a show on the puppetry track called One Giant Step Outside Your Mind, which is sort of like it's sort of a pastiche of geek things. Then they have a total Star Trek show in the Trek track. They have a Star Wars. Maybe they don't have a Star Wars show. They definitely have a Doctor Who show in the Brit track. Bean and Bear, who are very popular within the puppetry track. They have a kid show and a late night show this year. So come and see them. Then I have North Star Puppets coming in from Pittsburgh. They have a kid show called Beware the Kraken. And then they also have their television show Circus Town, which they have filmed and pitched. And I actually helped executive produce the series. So you can come and see and learn all about Circus Town. That's a kid show that uses basically like circus techniques to teach physics. So it's all about, like, you know, arcs and projectile, you know, aerodynamics and things like that, with shooting people out of a cannon and things like that with puppets. So there's plenty of wonderful kids things to do inside the track. And then, as always, the Create a Puppet Workshop on Saturday morning, right after the parade. You can come and build your very own dragon puppet that has flapping wings, and you can run around Dragon Con flapping his little wings, and it's always a huge treat for me when I see those kids running around after the workshop all throughout Dragon Con, waving their little dragon puppets over their heads. And I have it on very good authority that the powers that be at Dragon Con always love seeing those puppets too.
Well, I was going to ask, is there like an age limit to make those
dragons? Absolutely not.
Awesome.
All ages can come and make their own Dragon Con dragon puppet.
That sounds
it's a
awesome.
Golden dragon, just like the colors in the logo. So it's it actually looks exactly like if you look at the Dragon Con purple and gold logo, the puppet that you build looks exactly like that dragon inside the circle.
That is very cool. And it's wings flap.
It's a rod puppet. So you hold onto the rod and it goes out on the end of the rod. And so when you wave the puppet up and down, his wings flap and it's beautiful.
Very cool. I like this idea. We have just talked a lot about puppets. John, what else? What, I know I'm forgetting something though. What else are we talking about? Where are you located?
Yes, there is that.
We are in the Marriott. We, ever since our very first year, where we were put in a, you know, a small sort of 100 seat room, which we immediately proved that we were way too big for. We were moved into the Marriott A704. So we are across from Star Wars and the kids track.
Okay.
So you know where the blood drive used to be?
That's it. Right.
Right. So you basically go when you come into the Marriott, instead of going into the Marriott open space in the lobby, you come the other direction.
Open spaces.
That little lobby area. There's sort of that little area with the big dome, the big dome over it. And then you keep going into the sort of the back left corner. And that's where we are. And we love it. We love that space.
That's a great space.
We're out of the main traffic area. You know, we've got plenty of room for, you know, lines build up in our area. So we've got room for those lines. It doesn't, you know, get in the way of the rest of the convention and things like that. We're very, very happy there. And so Marriott A704 atrium level, that's where we are.
Yeah. And for those who are, first of all, you'll be able to find all this stuff. There is signage at Dragon Con. You'll be fine. But this one is, if you're going from the Hyatt through the sky bridges, you go from the Hyatt to the Marriott, and before you either go straight to go to Peachtree Center or turn left to keep going into the Marriott, you turn to the right, and it's still the Marriott, but it's over in that corner with Star Wars and other stuff. And so it's awesome, and it's a nice area. Yes.
It's great. If I never moved, I would be happy. I love being in our spot. We absolutely love it.
That is an awesome area, and you got other really cool things going on right there too, especially during the day if you're there with kids.
Yep. So we're right across we're right across from the kids track. So you can come and see a puppet show, then go over to the kids track and do something. And also that area, because it's near the Star Wars area, it tends to be where like the bot, like the droid builders collect.
I was going to bring that up.
There's always like droids running around right outside a room, which I love, in that dome area.
You will often see an R2-D2 there.
Yeah, there's like a BB-8 and an R2 always rolling around.
Always rolling around. There's also, I think it's a 9E, which is the one in the Star Wars A New Hope that blows up, and then that's when Luke gets R2. They'll have one of those usually over there, and it's really cool to watch. So, yeah, it's good to see them and see how people do them. It's kind of awesome.
All right, Bo.
Your turn, John.
So this is the time when we play a little game with our guests. I've actually, handpicked a couple of questions out of the Family Feud Disney edition, and we'll call this the Family Feud Muppet edition because that's what they are. The idea is similar to Family Feud, where I'm going to ask a question, and the top X number of answers are on there. You get points based upon where your answer lies in this list.
Okay, hold on. Bo. Bo, John, are these going to make any sense as answers?
I think they will. I've only got four of them here. Out of the whole set, there was only four Muppets questions. So.
Okay, so you can't actually answer them like real people would answer some, because some of these you just like, you know.
Well, I say that, but then it's all relative, right?
It's always relative.
All right.
Like Dread.
All right, so Bo, I'll ask you, you both will have a chance to answer the same question. Name a type of movie you'd like to see Miss Piggy star in.
Romantic comedy.
Okay.
Superhero.
I'll give you action movie for that one. So both of you are on the board. Starting from the bottom, we have the top six answers there. From the bottom is romance, then followed by action movie, romantic comedy, horror, Muppets. So yeah, of course you want Miss Piggy to star in a Muppets movie. Okay. And comedy. Comedy was the number one answer.
So, right, yay.
So, Bo, you got 4 points. Lee got 3 points.
I'll take it.
Bo, name the Muppet most likely to run a successful business. Top four answers are on the board. Bo?
Did we lose Bo? Is he still here?
I don't know.
Am I still here?
You're still here.
John? I'm still here. Okay.
Oh, no, we did lose Bo.
Uh-oh. Okay, well, we will hope that Bo comes back on, but I want to, while we're waiting, I want to also say one other thing. If you are coming to Atlanta before Dragon Con,
and I'm back.
Yeah. Okay.
Oh, I'm back. All right, I'll do this in a minute then. Keep going.
Oh, okay, so the question was, name a Muppet most likely to run a successful business. We have four answers on this card.
A Muppet most likely to run a successful business. I mean, Kermit did. Then I would probably say, I mean, Miss Piggy did. I mean, that was sort of like the whole thing about the new Muppet movie was they were all sort of split up and running their own businesses.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I would say Kermit, obviously. He's the most together of all of them.
Lee?
And I will go Miss Piggy.
Okay, both of you are on the board. Kermit was the number one answer for 55 Woo! Points. Miss Piggy Woo! Came in second for 18 points. The other two answers are Gonzo.
Gonzo, yeah.
And okay. Beaker. Beaker.
Beaker, not, interesting.
Man. Beaker, but not Dr. Bunsen.
Well, yes, if you think of the two, probably Beaker is really the one who would be more, should be running that show. All right. Name the Muppet, Bo. Name the Muppet most likely to be afraid of flying. The Muppet most likely to be afraid of flying.
Muppet most likely to be afraid of flying. I really just want to say the Swedish Chef, just because he's one of my favorites, and I want to say him.
Okay.
I'm going to go with Scooter.
Oh, good choice.
I have
none of those are on the list. Top five answers starting at the bottom is Animal, then Gonzo. You'd think
Gonzo literally was a daredevil.
I know that's why these don't make any sense.
It doesn't make any sense.
Beaker was number three.
I really like Beaker on this panel of people.
They do seem
to number two is Miss Piggy, and number one was Kermit the Frog.
Miss Piggy is in first class drinking champagne. Yeah. I don't know what y'all talking about. Miss Piggy's loving it.
All right.
Okay. Jet set.
last question. And Lee, I think we have asked this question before, so you've heard it before, but that's why Bo gets to answer first. Name the Muppet most likely to drive a motorcycle. Name the Muppet most likely to drive
Gonzo.
A motorcycle. Who? Gonzo?
Gonzo.
Okay.
That's not even a question.
I'm going to go with Fozzie Bear because I don't remember how I answered last time.
Both of you are on the board. Number five, out of the five top answers, the bottom one was Kermit, then followed by Gonzo, somehow was only made to number four.
Mm-hmm. He was literally a daredevil.
I know.
He rode motorcycles over cliffs like Evel Knievel. That was literally his whole...
You saw him all the time on a motorcycle. Yeah.
Number three was Animal. Number two was Fozzie Bear. Now wait till you hear the number one answer. Miss Piggy.
I mean, yeah. She did ride a motorcycle in the movies, but...
Yeah,
I mean,
no.
Gonzo is literally Evel Knievel as a Muppet.
It's a random generator. We totally believe this whole deck is just random generator. But I think Bo won because he had 55 points with Kermit.
So the final score is Lee with 40.
I'll take it.
Lee with 40 and Bo with 72.
All right. So we're about to go, but want to say again, Bo, where are you located?
So please come and visit the Puppet Track in Marriott A704 atrium level. Come okay. see the slam over in the Sheraton in the Peachtree Ballroom. And you can find us online. Go to www.puppet.org to buy your Dark Crystal Ball tickets while they are still hot and available.
Yep. And there are
there's only four balls. VIP tickets still available. Everything else is general admission, mm-hmm. Which means you don't get into the hour, the VIP pre-party hour, where you get to really hobnob with the special guests, but you still get to be there and participate. The costume contest there is off the chain.
Yeah, I didn't even think of that.
It's a really magical evening. The whole center gets transformed. We have the crystal hanging from the ceiling like a disco ball. It's nuts.
Oh, neat.
And remember,
there's the merchandise area with the puppets, and puppets are expensive, and that's a piece of art, so go support people.
Well, and we also have, they also bring lots of,
cost-effective
puppets, that you can purchase that, and all of, and the deal, like lots of booths at Dragon Con, that money goes directly into that puppet builder's pocket, so right. please support those artists and buy their puppets and help them pay for the hotel room.
Please. Yeah. They need that.
Right.
I also want to give a pimped out. I don't know what I'm just saying, but if you come to Atlanta early for Dragon Con, or even if you are at Dragon Con and you want to take an afternoon off, please go to the Center for Puppetry Arts. They have an amazing, amazing permanent exhibit. It is a beautiful area. You can get there on MARTA. You go from Peachtree Station. You go straight to the Art Center. It's right there going north. It's only one train. Go. It's a beautiful, beautiful place to go, and it's wonderful. So
I feel like Bo has something to say.
If you use promo code DECON19, you mm-hmm. can get into the museum for only $10.
There we go. See, hey, we didn't even know. I didn't even know he was doing that about the $10.
Well, we usually traditionally we've done like a thing with your badge, but we realized that so many people come in early and they don't have their badge yet, so they can't get a discount. So this year it's just a promo code. All you have to do is walk up and say DECON19 and you'll get into the museum for $10.
Sweet.
There we go. And it's awesome. Go see it.
The museum is absolutely fantastic.
Yeah.
And it also, not only does it feature the Jim Henson collection, where you can see Miss Piggy and Kermit and Fozzie and all the gang and Bert and Ernie and Big Bird. It also has the global collection, which is puppetry traditions from all around the world, which now includes Tom Servo and Crow as of this year.
Oh, wow.
Were added to the Americas collection to represent modern American puppetry. And I'm very proud to say that I had a big hand in that.
You did an awesome job.
Total honor of working with Joel directly to get those puppets in that museum.
Awesome.
And it really means a lot to me.
As an aunt, I can tell you, you can take anybody from 4 to 12, and they both had a great time. I had a 5-year-old and a 10-year-old there, and they loved it. They loved the whole museum. We got to see an actual puppet show, and then we got to go through the museum. It was awesome. Go. Yeah.
So the discount is good for just the museum entry, because that's usually what people have time for.
Yeah.
But yeah, definitely see a show while you're there
if you can.
It's a great place. And then that also includes the specific Dark Crystal exhibit. So there's a whole special exhibit dedicated to Dark Crystal while you're there as well, when you come this year.
Sweet.
That will be going away next year at some point. So now's the year to go.
Yes.
Oh, okay. Yeah. All right. Well, again, Bo, thank you for taking time out. Please thank your volunteers for us. We appreciate all the work that they put into to making the show a great show for everybody. I mean, and it goes out to all the volunteers. I don't say it enough. But thank you for all the time and effort you guys put
in. Thank you for the shout out to the volunteers. My team is almost every single person on my team has been with me pretty much since the beginning. Mm-hmm. I have a very high retention rate on volunteers because my team is fantastic.
That is awesome. So until next time, for Bo and Lee, this is John saying peace.
Good journey.
Bye.
This has been a production of The Unique Geek. to leave a comment or suggestion, call us at 813-3210-TUG or email us at thegeeks@theuniquegeek.com. Follow The Geeks on Twitter at @TheUniqueGeek. This podcast is distributed under a Creative Commons Share Alike non-commercial license.